And welcome to Geekers Creepers. This is a special podcast where we talk about The Last of Us. I am joined by my host. Let me introduce myself. I am Rob, and I am joined by my host, Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Ed?
All's well, sir. How's it going on your end?
Good. We just got done watching episode 4 of The Last of Us. We're going to talk about this episode, what we thought about it, and it's going to be spoilers. So any listeners, I would recommend that you guys watch the episode first, because I'm going to spoil it. We'll be talking about the episode, but I will try not to spoil the future episodes if I know that they kind of tie in with the game. That being said, I'm going to say this. There wasn't much in this episode that ties in that I know of to, well, it's half and half. There are parts that tie into the game and there are parts that don't. So there's a lot of new into this episode. And so, Ed, I know we've been talking about, like, you know, we joke around our pinkies up, it means good, pinkies down means bad. But I think we maybe have to come to a way to rank these, because, and I'll touch base with you and Kelly, see, like, hey, what's the best ranking system that you guys choose for Geekers Creepers?
I think that's to be discussed. But yeah.
But let me start out with this episode, Ed. Or let me ask real briefly, because I did a full hour plus, maybe it was about an hour.
You didn't invite me on episode 3, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great, this one. and then before I knew it, I saw a solo review of episode 3. So
yeah, I think you were out of town, I believe, with that one. I'm like, I have to get this one up. This was a great episode. So let me briefly just ask, what did you think of episode 3?
Episode 3 was amazing, I thought. Mm-hmm. It was something that I just totally was not expecting from this, and honestly, so far it's been the star of the show so far. It was really great. It was challenging. It was it was heartbreaking at the mm-hmm. end. You know, my question is that following anything from the game? I mean,
in the game, you do meet Bill, and you meet Bill at a part where you're trying to get across country. You're with Ellie, and you meet Bill, and he's got all these traps set up in his town. And mm-hmm. I believe you run into him by accident, or, you know, he lives there and you're just kind of cutting through. Mm-hmm. And Bill helps you out. You get caught in one of his traps, and he comes out to help you out, but he's just this grumpy man, and he talks about Frank every now and then, but it's more just like he talks about him. He says he's my partner, that this guy was a jerk, you know, he left. And then you get to a scene where you see Frank had gotten infected and hung himself, and he leaves a letter to Bill just saying, I always hated you. You never wanted to get out of this town. So it's implied that that's Bill's romantic partner, but you don't really ever see Frank other than his body hanging. And you kind of get a very gruff Bill where it seems more that he hates Frank for leaving. You know, like, you ever see the stereotypical macho guy where he's like, you know, he doesn't want to admit his feelings. So he's just like, you know what, that was, you know, like if a girl breaks up with him, it's like, well, it was her fault.
Right.
You know? And so even though he might be heartbroken, he doesn't want to show his emotions. So that's what this Bill is like. Mm-hmm. And you never really get to see, you can tell that it affected him, but he's trying to cover mm-hmm. it up by being too macho. So that's the video game version. In this mm-hmm. one, I think they did a fantastic job, and they fleshed it out. And a lot of people complained about it. You know, I keep seeing stuff, but I think those are the same people that complain this is just my opinion, but it seems like they're the same people that complain if a Marvel character is a person of color as opposed to being white, or if they're a female character as opposed to being, you know, a man. You know, it's just like they're complaining because uh-huh. they had their own problems. But I personally thought that was a fantastic episode.
I think, you know what, honestly, it was nice. Actually, they kind of threw down a gauntlet as far as they threw out a challenge. Mm-hmm. And this was, I gotta say, it was very well done. Like mm-hmm. At least when I finished up, I mean, I was just like, God, this is really tragic. You know, mm-hmm. two people Finally meet, finally find each other, and you know, this is probably what you want out of like romantic relationships or anything, yeah, things of that nature. And yeah, I mean, I was really stunned. And again, I think Nick Offerman and actually, I forgot the other guys.
Yeah, he was from the White Lotus. I forget his name too, but yeah.
They both I thought they hit it out the park with this episode. It was really, really, really good.
Yeah, I would
and
go ahead.
yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, I'm like, well, I hope, I'm glad they gave us this one, but I mean, I hope this doesn't kind of ruin the whole the rest of the series for it. But
Yeah. Well,
on
let's
the
talk
other
about
hand,
episode four
yeah.
because
Yeah.
you know what? They can't all be bangers. And episode four, I don't think was, I was not very impressed.
It wasn't. Yeah. In all honesty, probably needed something like this just because I mean, episode three was pretty, I mean, the ending is just, God, it's like, it's Shakespearean in ending, you know. It's definitely a tragedy at the end. And
Did you ever see the movie Up?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, the reason is because the first like 10 minutes is super, super depressing, and that episode three of The Last of Us was like an hour long version of Up, you know. And Up is like you know what it is, the Pixar movie, right? The one with the old man who takes his
Oh,
house. The
yeah,
old man
right,
who
yeah.
takes his house, and like you think it's this kid's movie, but that first 15 minutes is depressing. And I'm telling you, like I sat there and I cried, and I'm just like, I'm like, why am I crying at a Pixar movie? And the friend that I was watching it with, she mentioned the same thing. She's like, this is just an hour-long episode of Up, because it's so like, it's something you don't expect in The Last of Us, but you're just like, oh my God, this is really, really heartfelt in a zombie
Yeah,
apocalypse.
no. Right. Well, that's no. It's just I mean, we've been watching like things like, The Living Dead,
Or The
or
Walking
Dawn of
Dead.
the Living Dead, or Walking. Well, yeah, even The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead probably had some stuff, but on the other hand, it wasn't like this. This was definitely a, you know, it's definitely like a sidebar, but it was nice. It was a nice, it was a very, I guess, unexpected challenge, but I'm glad they did it. And but back to four. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just like I think four needed a little bit more. It had a little bit more comedic tones to it, but it was yeah, you can't, they can't all be winners, but it
No,
was
they
like
can't.
this was no. So I guess no, but this is but then you see then you see now Ellie and I'm sorry, I'm
Joel?
totally forgetting Joel. Thank
Joel.
you. Joel's opening up,
So
and
let's start
it's
from the
like,
beginning then. Let's
yeah.
talk about this
Yeah.
episode. So one thing
Okay.
I noticed, this one did not have an intro scene. It went straight to the credits or the intro. It didn't have like, you know, some of the old ones have had. The first two
A
episodes had
past.
like an intro scene that goes into it. This just started up right with the title screen. And then we get
Yes.
to Abby with the gun as she's pointing it at the mirror, you know, kind of giving that Dirty Harry slash what was his name? Robert
Taxi
De Niro.
driver.
Yeah, taxi driver.
Yeah.
You talking to me?
Right. So that was yeah, no, it starts off with that, and well, I guess you're still kind of up in the air with her, with her character, just because, you know, she you know, Joel doesn't trust her with a firearm yet, barely trusts her with giving her a knife in this, and then yeah, you're like uh-oh, and then you already see that she has kind of like a predilection towards violence. You didn't see it, you saw it just
Last
in that
episode.
scene where she drops, yeah, in the first episode, and then she, you saw it actually in three, right? When she drops down into that little basement cubbyhole, and then she kills that one, She kills that one infected person in the basement.
The one thing about it, you know, I do kind of like that they're doing this with her. She has a little bit of her innocence still because she's still a kid, but then you can tell like she is, like you said, a little tougher. And I think she's a little tougher. This version of Ellie's a little tougher than the video game one. Matt, with that said, we've got the next scene where we've got Joel siphoning gas. And I do like this, that they actually bring this up, which I know that a lot of horror movies don't, or like apocalyptic movies don't bring this up, but gas does go bad, you know? So like he tells her, he's like, you know, it's like gas goes bad after a while. We don't get as far as we do, like we used to. I don't know if that's true, but I know gas does go bad. So it's good that they brought that up. You know, if you see like other apocalyptic movies, you know, like 30 years go by and, you know, the gas is just fine, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the perfect examples was, what was it, Waterworld, where they're all in the water, but somehow they've got gasoline to power all their crazy...
Somehow, yeah, right, yeah. Correct, yeah. Somehow they're getting an endless supply of it, right?
And then we've got Ellie starts bringing out her pun book, which that is part of the video game. She does, you know, she's tossing all those puns, which is kind of a way that I think they're showing that she's breaking Joel down. You know, she's acting more like a kid, reminding Joel more of his daughter, and, you know, it's kind of her still being a kid.
Yeah, she's been a typical like eighth grader, you know, seventh, eighth grader, you know, kind of be a smart aleck. You kind of saw a brief glimpse of it because she was trying to figure out what the 1980s music meant over the radio. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that means something bad. So. You could tell she's kind of, she's kind of slick. She's still a child, but she's kind of slick. It's kind of interesting.
And so then, they start to go on the road trip. They put in a Hank Williams album. The song is called Alone and Forsaken, which, you know, it fits their scenario right now, you know, they're kind of alone and forsaken. And they start on the road trip. Yeah, this is cool. I mean, this is the Last of Us when you play the video game. It's a trip across, you know, across the country. And they do stop in the woods. And one of the things that I noticed, they stop the night in the woods. And one of the things I noticed is Joel says that the infected really don't go that far out because it's too barren.
Right.
So I wonder if, and maybe they won't answer this, but, you know, are the infected kind of only want to be where the people are at? You know, do they not attack, I don't know, like deer or, you know, any other animal out there? Or is it they attack people only? Which would make sense if you think about it, like, you know, like cordyceps, like they only attack ants. You know, it's not like, I mean, other animals too, but they kind of stick to that own, you know, one cordyceps would just be with want to attack other ants. They don't try to aim to attack. That, as far as I know, what I've seen on National Geographic or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So they're out in the woods and we get, we really get to see still more of their dynamic here. They're still, you know, I think Joel is warming up with Ellie. They're kind of sleeping there. She keeps asking him questions. I believe it's around this time that we learn a little bit about more Tommy too. We learn more about his history. That's Tommy is Joel's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he was a follower. He was a joiner, I think he calls him, wanting to just always join the military, join the Fireflies, and just wanted to join all these things. And Joel is still trying to look out for him because it's still family.
Well, go ahead. Yeah. That's the thing. So he kind of ties in, Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. Just trying to fit in not only just trying to fit in, but to also do his part type thing. So it's kind of interesting because maybe Joel just, this is the type of person Joel really actually wants to be like, but he's very, especially now, 20 years later after, you know, his daughter gets killed, he's very cynical, you know, and,
The way I look at it, I think of Tommy as like a joiner. He's an optimist. He believes that he could help save the world. And Joel is just the opposite of his brother. The way I look at Joel is I'm going to survive. I don't, you know, I'll join this organization if I'm going to benefit out of it. I'm not doing it to help out the world. I'm doing it to help out me. And it seems that's what Joel is. The way I look at Joel, he doesn't want to beat Tommy. He wants to help him. But, you know, at the same time, he wants to benefit out of this. Like, one of the perfect examples is when Ellie asks him, am I not family? And he's like, no, you're cargo. And that's exactly what, you know, she is. I mean, he's taking her somewhere else. He's smuggling her across to, you know, so she could be taken to the Fireflies. Now, yes, of course,
it's mostly for personal, for individual gain, personal gain for Joel. So not so much of an altruistic, whatever, you know, he's just like, well, whatever, she might be the cure for all this, but, probably not, but, I'll definitely get something out of it. So he's Han Solo, in a sense, you know, in before the ending of Star Wars.
I wanted to say, thank you for saying that, because I was going to bring that up. And it's just a pet peeve of mine is every smuggler in these movies always have a heart of gold. You know, they're always like, you never see them being evil because they're smugglers. You know, smugglers in real life, like if you're smuggling, you know, contraband across the border or something, it's not like, you know, like you have a heart of gold. You know, you don't think of them as good people. But whenever you've got your Han Solo, Firefly, Malcolm Reynolds, they act tough, but at the end of the day, they're like, but I'm going to do what's good for, you know, for this person because I'm actually a good person. I would love to see a movie where they actually change that trope where the smuggler is just he's a smuggler. You know, like, for example, in The Last of Us, instead of Joel fighting, you know, feeling Ellie's like a daughter, he just drops her off, like, you know, like a package. Like, here you go. I'm out of here. It would make for a bad movie, but it would be nice to see a smuggler actually be a smuggler and not have a heart of gold, because it's such a trope.
That's probably just going to be a documentary, Rob. It's not going to be a Hollywood film. It's just like, oh, look at...
The end.
There's no hope. The end.
20 minutes in, it's over. The end.
You know what? You don't need another hour and a half. Done.
Package delivered.
Package delivered. No. Yeah, we call those documentaries, Rob.
No, I can only dream of that 20-minute lousy movie about a smuggler.
it's either that or a stripper with a heart of gold or something. Yeah.
The Pretty Woman thing.
That's Pretty Woman. Yeah. It's like.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't think it's ever going to.
I don't think that's. Sorry, it's probably not. It's probably not feasible. But
no, I want to be realistic.
It makes a great movie. It makes a great movie.
Have you seen the movie Monster?
Yeah. Okay. That's...
All right. Well, back to
they make it to Kansas City, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they realize that they're being ambushed. That's also from the game. They realize that they're being ambushed, or Joel realizes that when the guy's like, can you help me? It's a big part of the game too. Like that part, that's when I played that, that's one of the creepier parts, because you're like, you're not against clickers. You're up against other people. And you don't know what they want to do to you or what they want to do with Ellie, which is something that Joel does bring up earlier in the forest. He's like, you know, he's like, I think he mentions that, you know, that the stuff they'll do is, you know, just, you know, it's bad things. It's not just they're going to kill you. You know, there's other things that they could do. And so, you know, at this point, Joel doesn't realize that they're part of an organization or whatever. We'll learn later. But that ambush part does take place. Him and Ellie do escape, but they escape because Ellie ends up, Joel gets taken over. He fights three guys, takes out two of them. One of them gets the upper hand on him, and Ellie has to shoot that person in the back, which I think it's one of those things that Joel is kind of happy she helped out, but disappointed because he didn't want her to have to murder another human being.
Right, right. Yeah, she was in that scene, she was pushed to the extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, it's it, yeah.
And then I think after this, like this, they start to make a run for it. They're hiding out, and that's where we get introduced to Kathleen, I believe, and she's looking for Henry. And Kathleen is not in the video game. This is all new. And it looks like she's the leader of the rebels or something. And mm-hmm. I'll be honest, that this is the part where I wasn't really vibing with it. I don't get what Kathleen's whole, well, I think we'll eventually learn why she wants to get, we'll eventually learn why she wants to find Henry. But, and I do know who Henry is. I'm not going to spoil that.
But, okay. Yeah. Good. You probably don't want to get too far ahead. I mean, I haven't played the game, so I don't.
Yeah,
I won't spoil it. I kind of want to just keep this mostly as the HBO series. That's
just the episode.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but still, she's not anywhere in the. Kathleen's not in the game, and she becomes. For me, she gets a little too annoying because she seems to be one note. And for example, she's all about wanting to find Henry to the point where she shoots the doctor. She's interrogating a doctor who, this is the apocalypse. If there's certain, professions you want to keep in an apocalypse, I think doctor's up there as number one. I mean,
right. The part of the conversation, it looks like he was a Fedra doctor, so the, mm-hmm. He probably committed offenses, or he said I wronged you, mm-hmm. but I am a doctor. I'm still a human being. I can help people. Blah blah blah. But
it seemed like she wronged it because she said that, she never ratted out. Okay, so what we do know is, or I guess what we think we know, is Kathleen's brother was killed. And mm-hmm. and the doctor didn't rat the brother out, but helped out Henry somehow. And Henry seems to be the one that ratted the brother out. And now Kathleen wants to kill Henry for something going on with the brother. And so the doctor, again, he's like, I brought, he helped assist in her birth. And he was a doctor that was there. And again, it's like, she's just got this one track mind. I want to get Henry. So let's take out the doctor. I mean, it's just like, if you're following, if you were one of her followers, one of her generals, or somebody that was, a higher rank, you'd be like, what are you doing? You're because of your, at, you're wanting revenge, you're hurting the rest of us.
You don't see how she has the power over these other guys that she's does that make sense? Or
that's the other part I don't get, and hopefully we'll learn that later. I don't see her character as being one that is in charge of everybody there. She just comes off as just like she doesn't come off as like a character that somehow got into this. Into the
she
leadership
role. She just seems maybe she just seems angry but not charismatic.
Thank you.
And I think you're right. That's kind of like where I'm like, all right, well, I guess she's in charge. Her rage gets precedence over how people will operate in that realm, whatever, or that in that group. So,
and there's another part. She's talking to the followers out there at the Fedra, and again, I think they're rebels, her people. And she says that Joel and Ellie, these people that killed the two others, were sent by Henry. They're, they were part of him. I'm like, well, what proof do you have of this? And why are they following you? What? And I hope we learn this later on, because the thing is, like, what did you do in either your previous life or in when to create yourself in such a powerful role that these people will just take your word face value. Because I would get to the point where I'm like, we gotta take her down. She's hurting our society by only thinking about one thing.
So we have to we have to figure out if she has there's something else that she's she has power over, how she has these power over people.
There's also a third thing. So one is because of the doctor drives me nuts. Two is she's trying to say that Joel and Ellie were sent by Henry without, you know, just because she's after the Henry guy. But number three is, do you remember they go into that building and they see the floor rumble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so we know that something bad is about to happen. I mean, come on, they don't show that in the episode if something bad's not about to happen.
Right.
And,
yeah.
But, so you know, they're like,
that's a cliffhanger, so they're ready.
That's a classic scene. That's like if you see a movie and somebody coughs, you know, like, you know, 30 minutes later, you're going to find out they have a terminal disease, you know?
Yeah.
It, that's the way it works. And so when you see that floor shake, and she's like, we'll take care of it later. We got to get Henry. Again, I'm like, what is wrong with you, lady? No, you don't. The floor is shaking. There is literally, looks like something's about to pop out of that floor. Let's forget about Henry for now. I'm sorry. Like, this episode drove me nuts. I don't like her character right now. I really don't.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, because maybe that was something that you could interject with the game, what that situation might be. But I guess I honestly, I can only speculate, but you're right. It sounds like something bad. So
I'll say this, none of this is in the game. This isn't in the game. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So right then and there, you're right. It's just like, yeah, this looks like it's something serious rather than a personal vendetta or something like that. Yeah, you're right. No, I get it. And if that's the case, then how does she have this type of power over the guy? There was another person there with her, right? I mean, it looks like a guy that has it together. Maybe either ex-military or whatever. It's a law enforcement type guy that.
Exactly. And I think he brings balanced, it up. He's like, shouldn't we look into this? He's like, no, we'll take care of that later. Let's get Henry first.
We need Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. No, this episode was kind of like, that whole situation didn't seem like it was like something that it definitely seemed odd, and it didn't seem like, it's just like, all right, well, we better figure out what's going on with this. But,
And just a brief, what do you call it? Not a tip. What are they? A movie. I don't know how to say it. But the character that plays the guy that you're talking about, the one with the gun that's next to her when they're in the basement, he's the character that voiced Tommy in the video game. So just a little trivia fact.
Okay.
So yeah, he's actually from the game. He voices Tommy. And...
I thought you brought up the lady that played Tess. She passed away, but she was in the video game, right?
Yes,
she was the voice. She was the voice actress. Okay,
yeah, right. She was the voice actress of Tess. She passed away literally that Saturday when it came on. All right. So, So okay, now we also still have Ellie and Joel. They're this episode it's a lot about them really getting to know each other. You start to see, like I said, Joel get more and more used
definitely
to
definitely lightened up a little bit. Yes. Yeah, he's definitely loosening up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's that scene where they're talking as they're going to bed in the building, they're on the 35th floor or whatever. You know, they make some jokes on the way up there. She calls him an old man. You know, she tells a diarrhea joke. What is that? The
jeans.
It runs in your jeans.
How do you know? You know how diarrhea has to be hereditary. It runs in your jeans.
That's
right. Yeah.
There is something else that she does mention, or Joel mentions that he admits that he ambushed people, and when she asked, "Did you kill innocent people?" He doesn't answer. So we know that
he doesn't answer. He hesitates.
And I do like that. That wasn't in the game. In the game, Joel says he's not a good person, but Ellie never asked, did you kill innocent people? I'm almost positive she doesn't. And it was something that I think they really had to, they really have to push at, because people that play the video game always think of Joel as like, he's a good guy, because a lot of it is because you play as him. So you kind of relate to the character, but in reality, you're playing against a very bad person. You know, it's just that you're playing this little section of his story that you feel you're a good person, but you're not. Like, he's done a lot of bad things to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so, these are going to be, this is good. These are things you have to consider, like in those situations. Like, are people all 100% good? Are they going to make decisions to, you know, just for self-preservation, that type of thing.
I think they will, Ed. I mean, just look at COVID itself. As soon as COVID hit, what happened to the grocery stores? People were beating each other up for a roll of toilet paper, you know?
Yeah.
it's something as minuscule as that, you know, people are going crazy over. And look, a lot of us, not everybody, but society is still around. But during that, in 2020, things were going crazy. And that's just, you know, when you think of apocalyptic movies, whenever I see like societies working together, I believe it less and less after, you know, after living through COVID. You know, it's just like, you know, the people become very, survival of the fittest. You know, they just become, they become bad. Not everyone, but a lot of them do.
Yeah, but no, self-interest, me first, you know, type thing, and not the protecting the masses type thing. No, you're right. It was kind of, I think we didn't see anything close to what the series is all about, but we saw it in a very minor sense.
Yeah, it was a little bit eye opening. All right, so then we get to Joel and Ellie, or Joel wakes up, Ellie's there, you know, has her hands in the air, and then we have two people that have guns on him, and it ends there. Now, so anything else in this episode that you want to go over that you know that you liked, didn't like?
No, actually, you know, so far, actually kind of decent. Like, it's kind of funny. It's just like, all right, 20 years later, people are eating Chef Boyardee.
I like that. Yeah.
20-year-old can't, I don't know, man. Knowing what you know now, would you feel like you could pull that off? Like, at a certain point, I would say, I don't know. I don't think that, I think at a certain point, I'd just probably be like, yeah, I'm not eating that. That's like 20, that's 20 two decades Jeff old.
You know what? It depends how hungry I am. Honestly, probably. You got nothing left to eat. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're either going to turn into like a mushroom, a walking mushroom, or you have some Chef Boyardee. it kind of brings that whole diarrhea joke back around, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. No, but it's for me, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. At a certain point, I'd figure out, like, you know, maybe I'd try and figure out if I could get good at farming or something like that. But I guess things like wine or these other like spirits and stuff like that. I mean, that would just be like, oh, okay. It's probably even better, you know, but it ages like wine. Yeah, who
you
knows?
Never know. Chef Boyardee might age like wine, you know. We should test it out. I taste the undertones of processed meats.
but back to it. I think it's kind of interesting though, because everything is everything's stuck in pre-2003 technology, and you know, cars and things of that nature. I think so far so good with that, because you're not seeing like over the top things that you just miss or they miss or something like that. But it's it's really interesting. I think I'm still impressed by the scope of just making in some sense, time stand still with all the tech that was like 20, and like, and it's scary to think, like, I'm like, wow, that's 20 years ago. Like, where I think we were just like considering getting a cell phone or something like that, or
yeah, when you think about it, yeah, 2003 was different. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, I think at that point, I may have had a cell phone, but it was still like the brick phones, you know, it was still
the brick, like flip,
or the razor, the flip, yeah.
Yeah, the razor flip, definitely. No, I mean, it didn't even, and not forget making pictures, making, now you can make a movie on your phone, you know, like no problem.
We didn't have, like the internet was still kind of in its infancy. You know, there was technology was still, wasn't nearly like what we have now. It was
was there still America Online? There was still no. I've it's kind of interesting because you're like wow, that Chevy he was driving, that looked like old, like, but then you think to yourself, I'm like, yeah, that's right, because it's stuck in 2003, or it might have been like a 1999 like Chevy truck. But it's just, I think that's kind of cool that they've been pretty detailed with all that stuff, and kind of impressed with that. I don't know if you are.
No, I would like to see more, honestly, more comments, or not comments, but have them talk about it more in the show, like the fact that they're in 2003, you know, something subtle, like, again, like the a phone would be something. Maybe they would have an old school Game Boy, you know, something to show that, oh, you know, we're still stuck in that era. Oh, you know what was also in the game?
Back in episode 3, they were talking about Mortal Kombat 2, and like a stand-up console type thing. I mean, I thought that was really fun.
What was also in the game, it's that scene where she's in the back of the car, they're driving, and she finds the male nudie magazine in the
oh dear god. Well, she, you know, again, like, I like her. Yeah, I've learned to like really like her character, because she's like, oh, why is this all sticky?
Yeah.
And then she, like, you know, it's just a joke. You know? Like, I'm just like, oh, so she's, yeah, she's really sharp. I like her. I like her character. It's kind of funny. She's still kind of like a smart ass teenager, but in a lot of sense, she's kind of sharp.
Yeah. And she's a lot like that in the game. And like I said, even that scene itself is from the game itself, which I got a kick out of. I didn't think they were going to throw that in there, but it's a little Easter egg. All right. Oh, so, okay. So what did you overall, what did you think of the episode, Ed? Well, as I mentioned before, what did you like? What didn't you like? Where are we at?
Well, yeah, I think we needed an episode like this after the one before it, but I appreciated the lightheartedness. I appreciated you're starting to see them opening up to each other about things. But all in all, yeah, it was just kind of like, now we got this Catherine character, and who knows? It's kind of odd that she's like she has this power over people, and I think just have to go continue on with it and watch it. But overall, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was an okay episode. It wasn't over the top or anything.
I'm gonna agree with you 100%. I thought it was okay. I don't think it was a bad episode. I'm gonna watch it again after we're done with the podcast and uploading it. I thought it was an okay episode. I did like the fact that we do get a little more of Ellie and Joel getting closer. You get to see them slowly build that father-daughter relationship that he lost when he lost his daughter, Sarah. Even though he still doesn't want to be closer, you see that build up. So I do like that. I like the fact that one big thing I like about this show is they're not hiding a lot of stuff, though. They might hint at it, but they'll answer it later on. Like, for example, you know, they answered how everybody got infected. It was through the flower from Indonesia. You know, they don't keep too many mysteries like some shows do, which sometimes can get annoying. They talk about his brother Tommy. They mention him briefly. They mention him again. And now, you know, you kind of get his whole story. He tells you about his brother Tommy. So I do like the fact that they're answering a lot of the questions that we might have as somebody watching this, not knowing. You know, they're kind of answering it for us. So those two things I liked a lot. Again, what I didn't like is this new Kathleen character. I'm hoping that they'll change it up next episode and kind of give us, as you mentioned, more reason why she has power. You know, kind of get flesh her out a bit more, as opposed to just being that one note character that wants to find Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, if it's something like Henry killed her brother, then okay. But still, you're introducing me to somebody that I don't care about her or her brother. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but we don't know her, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, why should I, I don't get
basically,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see her interact, but then, you know, the three guys that were trying to roadblock and steal from Joel and Ellie were, you know, these weren't characters that you really cared about. I mean, the fact that they got, you know, the fact that Joel killed that last guy, even, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, actually, you're kind of dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. You guys are scavengers, you know, and so basically, this is the caliber of people that she has around her too. And again, you know, what's she all about? So, but this is something we have to watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, another little Easter egg that they did from the video game is, you reminded me of this when Joel kills the three characters, and you hear like the backup come in as they're making a run for it. You hear like somebody yell out like, they killed Timmy. Timmy's down. You know, you kind of hear him in the background yelling that. That is something that wasn't in the first game, but they implemented it in the second game. And it was a big thing that reviewers are talking about and game players, because it became, you felt bad like taking out an enemy, because you might take out an enemy and then kind of, you know, sneak off, and you would hear his friend yell out like, what have they done? They've killed Timmy. Like, you actually would hear it in their voices. You're like, oh dude, I just took out this dude's friend. And it makes you feel bad. And you're like, okay, they're not just bad guys. They're actually somebody out there actually cares for them. And they're just, you know, they're other people trying to survive. And they kind of, they did that in this episode, which I thought was, it was a cool shout out. I thought.
Kind of a cool shout out. And well, even then, like, you know, it's kind of weird, because Joel, he's not really hesitant. He's just like, you know, he's still trying to protect Ellie and putting her. He's like, go through the wall. I'm gonna put this guy down. So you don't have to watch this. And she's just kind of like, oh, okay,
yeah.
No, but I, no, it's interesting. No, that's an interesting point. It's just like, maybe, you know, he knows he as much as this guy's going to beg, you know, like, he can't risk that he's going to go run out and tell people that there's, you know, two people out here.
Oh, I agree. I think that scene there was, when he starts screaming for his mom, I was like, oh, come on. That's like, at last list, he might be, that's, I mean, I don't know. That was a little difficult for me. Cause I'm like, yeah, that's taking it too far, but hey, you know, I mean, that's the apocalypse.
Yeah, that is.
All right. I agree with you, Ed. I'm middle of the road on this one. I'm hoping next week we get, a better episode. Again, it wasn't bad. Just wasn't as great as it's going to be really challenging to get something as great as episode 3.
I agree. So that's why, you know, you don't want to get too nitpicky on this one, but, yeah, again, I think we got a really good gem with episode 3. This was fun. This was, so, funny, but I was yeah.
Let's do a quick ranking. The for four episodes we've seen, what would you say is your first, second, third, and fourth? Like, what would you say is the first one? You know, the best. What would you give number one?
Well, number one, I think I think we can say number three was the best.
I agree.
Then you go with one.
I agree.
And then two was pretty good too. Mm-hmm. But this so far this has been the weakest one.
So yeah, three, one, two, and four. I agree. I think those are I think it's a good ranking. The first one was a strong episode, but the second one I did like better than the first. Strangely enough, the third, which had little to do with Joel and Ellie, and honestly, not that much to do with any zombies or clickers is what they're called. Really had little to do with them also, but just told a great story. So, all right, with that said, any final parting thoughts on this episode?
No, I mean, I'm still engaged. You know, I don't feel like this is too much of a chore trying to keep up with it. But no, I'm looking forward to the next one, and hopefully you can give us some more Easter eggs and some more insight at via the game.
I think we are. I'm not going to ruin it, but I'm 99% sure we're about to get introduced to a few characters here. So with that being said, Ed, thank you so much for joining on this Geekers Creepers special episode of The Last of Us Review. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. It's greatly appreciated. You can always send us a comment at our email, geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. That's geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Or follow us at Geekers Creepers on Twitter. And so everyone, until next time, Ed and I wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.